And good morning, dear brethren. He has risen, Matthew chapter 28, verse 6. As the memorial studies just finished, now we will revisit the scriptures accounts as they relate to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus and the events before and after and the lessons for us. For us, there is no doctrine or event more important in connection with the gospel than the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. His death and resurrection are the sure foundation on which we can build our faith safely. So let us begin with our theme text. He is not here, for he is risen. Even as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. These gracious words were spoken by the angel at the dawning of the first day of the week to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary as they came to see the tomb. Verse 1. Just last Friday, these dear friends of Jesus were watching with great pain and sadness the inhumane treatment and suffering of their beloved master as he was dying on the cross. And when Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and placed it in his own new tomb, they were there watching. Matthew chapter 27, 61. But now, at the beginning of the first day of the week, when they returned to anoint Jesus' body, what a great surprise and consolation that must have been to hear the voice of the angel. He is not here, for he is risen. And go quickly, tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. In verse 8 we read, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. Now briefly on some of the things the angel referred to in his announcement, for he is risen, even as he said. After Jesus' baptism in the Jordan River, and after 40 days he spent in meditation, prayers, and temptations in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, we read, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. However, after preaching for some time, the repentance in the nearness of the kingdom of heaven, now as the message was coming closer to the end, and especially before the Passover, Jesus began to reveal to his disciples the full extent of his mission here on earth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on third day be raised. With statements like this, his disciples had difficulty to reconcile their own prospects and expectations in respect to the kingdom which Jesus was preaching. However, Jesus continued to tell them that his death was necessary. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, he said, even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And during celebration of the Passover supper, our Lord said that one of his disciples will betray him. This truly was very sad and disturbing news, especially for the 11. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him, one after another, is it I, Lord? In Matthew 26, verse 24, Jesus said, the Son of Man goes as it has been written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then, as Jesus broke the loaf of unleavened bread at the memorial supper symbolizing his death, Matthew chapter 26, verse 26 to 28, we read in verse 26 from the Yaglot rendition, and as they were eating, Jesus taking a loaf and giving praise, he broke and he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Jesus used here figurative language. This unleavened bread represents my flesh, my humanity, my body that will be shortly broken for you. It represents the flesh of the antitypical Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. After supper, in the upper room, and on the way to Gethsemane, Jesus, in the spirit of love and wisdom, comforted, counseled, and gave his disciples many good lessons and encouragements, which he considered to be useful to them and to all the followers in his absence. He said, I am with you yet a little while. Some of Jesus' teachings the disciples did not understand. They were not yet spirit begotten. Quote, for the Holy Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. John chapter 7 verse 39 from the Yaglot. But he was encouraging them to have faith in him and, quote, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said to them that his departure was necessary. John 14, verse 3, I read from Vimet, and if I go and make ready a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, that where I am, you also may be. He assured them that only if he departs, he will do something special for them. John chapter 16, verse 7. But I am telling you the truth. It is better for you that I go away. Because if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And that the Holy Spirit, in his absence, will be their comforter, will teach them all things, and will bring to their remembrance all things, and will guide them into all the truth. He assured them, I will not leave you orphans, comfortless. I will come to you. And in prayer committed them into his father's care. In John chapter 17, verse 11, English Standard Version, quote, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are one. They are in the world and will be subject to trials, persecutions, and all kinds of revilings and abuses. He asked the Father that he would keep, preserve, defend, sustain them in trials, and keep them in unity of the Spirit." His prayer was also for those that would come to him through their preaching. In John 17, verse 4, he said, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Now, our Lord Jesus was ready to die. As he earlier said, "I lay down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. And yes, he was publicly crucified. His death was watched by great masses of people and attested by many great miraculous events. In Matthew chapter 27, 54, we read, "But the centurion and those guarding Jesus, seeing the earthquake and all the things that took place, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this one was Son of God.'" While Jesus died, he was dead for a part of 3 days and nights. The Jews, the Romans, and all his disciples were very equally convinced that he was dead. The scriptures are very explicit. Our Lord's body was dead, but his soul was dead, as stated in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. And I read from Revised Standard Version. "He poured out his soul, his life, unto death." Isaiah 53:10. "When thou shalt make his soul, his life, an offering for sin." It means that our Lord, as human being, was dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So the resurrection of Jesus have been a great comfort to the apostolic church, as it is also at the present time to us. Apostle Peter, after he received the Holy Spirit, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, quoted in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, Psalm 16, verse 10, seeing this forehand, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, Hebrew Sheol, grave, nor would his flesh see corruption. Acts chapter 2, verse 32, English Standard Version. "This Jesus got raised up, and of that we all are witnesses." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, we read, Afterward, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. The angel in our opening text said that, quote, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." This confirms the fulfillment of Jesus' words to his disciples and to the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. "For as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights." See also Matthew chapter 17, verse 22 and verse 23. So the scriptures are plain in all the declarations that his death was necessary, as stated in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. I quote second part of this verse. "So that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." And yes, we appreciate all the information and the very explicit description of the details given to us in the four Gospels relating to the death and resurrection of Jesus. The Heavenly Father knew in advance that there will be so much disinformation, traditional errors, human philosophy, and devil's lies. John chapter 8, verse 44. It was not secret to him that the Jewish religious leaders would do anything possible to deny Jesus' resurrection and would lie that Jesus' disciples came by night and stole him away. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 to 15, and chapter 27, 62 to 64. He also knew that the apostles and the 500 brethren converts to our Lord's teachings at that time were natural men and would have doubts, as we read in Luke chapter 24, verse 11, and would need all details of the proofs of Jesus' resurrection that would be convincing to them, even to the point of showing to them his hands and feet. Luke chapter 24, verse 37 to 43. These proofs were also necessary that the message of our Lord's death and resurrection would be acceptable to natural men throughout the gospel age. For this reason, must be well documented, plain and distinct, and would be understandable to those who would have ears to hear and cherish the truth. So first God removed Jesus' body from the tomb and in some miraculous way preserved it that would not see corruption. Next, the visions of the angels testifying that he is risen. Then the appearance of the resurrected Lord in Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, we read, "But as they were going to report to his disciples, behold, Jesus also met them, saying, Hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him." To Mary Magdalene, the Lord appeared as gardener when she was outside of the tomb weeping. And how precious and reassuring this experience and his loving voice calling her name, Mary, must have been to her. John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18. Surely the Lord also appreciated the zeal and faithfulness of his followers. Their faith, love, and zeal for the Lord provided great lessons for us to learn and apply in our life. Then the Lord appeared to his disciples in various forms. In Luke chapter 24, verse 15 to 31, as a stranger, joining two of his disciples traveling to Emmaus, and after a long conversation, they invited him to stay with them. In verse 30 and 31, we read, "And it happened, as he reclined with them, taking the loaf, he blessed, and breaking it, he gave to them. Their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight." And as a stranger on the shore of Galilee, John chapter 21, he revealed himself to fishermen and directing them where to cast their nets. They recognize him by the miraculous catch of 153 big fishes. Twice in the upper room, and demonstrated that he was no longer man by coming and leaving them when the doors were closed. In these various ways, the Lord demonstrated a double lesson, that he was risen by the divine power, and that now he is spirit being. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Good News Bible, we read, "For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times, in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God." How precious, enlightening, reassuring, and strengthening these appearances have been to all his followers throughout the gospel age. Then the same message of good news about the kingdom was preached by his apostles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, St. Paul proclaiming the death and resurrection of our Lord as, quote, "the gospel which I preach to you." In verse 3 and 2:8 provides additional witnesses of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The death and resurrection are the fundamental truths of the gospel. As the eternal life is concerned, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now the Apostle Peter's statement, "put to death in the flesh, bade a life spirit." 1 Peter 3:18, "because Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." These last three words in this verse are constructed from one Greek word, pneuma. If properly translated, it should read, "made alive spirit." As we read also in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Now the Lord is the Spirit. When our Lord came to this earth, he was made a little lower than the angels. He took the perfect human nature, not for keeping that nature forever, but, quote, that by the grace of God might taste death for everyone, and to give, quote, himself a ransom for all. The death of Jesus indeed exhibit his and of his heavenly Father's love for us, as we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He faithfully fulfilled his missions in every detail for which he came. So this was the reason that he should be raised as glorious and highly exalted spirit being. See Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, we read, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. After his ascension and exaltation, 10 days later, at the Pentecost, he poured out the Holy Spirit, as he promised, to his disciples. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, we read, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you now see and hear. And yes, we are making preparation and praying for the promise of his kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen.